So thank you for being with us today. We appreciate everyone tuning in again today for worship. We'll be continuing our sermon series in Peter, and we are up to part 26. We're going to be ending the book of Peter today, and the title of today's sermon is Salvation, Always Free, Always Priceless. And this will end our book. We're going to end it, of course, on a positive note. That's the way Peter would have wanted it. If there's any problems with the video or audio, just let me know, and we'll work on that while we're here. But basically, what we're doing this week, there's a lot going on. I know people are anxious. I've been getting texts and emails and phone calls. I apologize if I haven't been responding the way I usually do. I've been having, problems with my health, and when the winter comes, it only makes it worse. So I was not feeling well at all this week, was kind of out of it. Praise God that I'm feeling well enough today to be able to, again, worship with you and present the sermon. But it's good to be at Fellowship Baptist Church again, center of the universe, where everything important happens. And praise God, and we're so grateful for those who also tune in or listen in via the phone, and to those who are sick and shut in for whatever reason that cannot make the service. We have not forgotten about you, and that's why we use modern-day technology to do this. But I will reach out and contact who I need to this week. So I promise I'll do that. And let's pray and then get into our sermon. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we could worship you today. We thank you that you are in control of all things. We thank you, Lord, that you sit at the right hand of the Father, and that as confusing as these events seem to be, we know, Lord, that you have your hand on your people, your little people, your simple people, that believe in you and the Father, and we believe in the unction of the Holy Ghost. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue, of course, to be with us and guide us. We pray that you would bless us today, that distractions would be kept to a minimum for this sermon. We pray, Lord, that we would bring words of life and comfort, especially in this time of struggle that our nation is going through. But we know, Lord, again, that you are with us. And we always thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to worship together. And we want to thank you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So if you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll be ending the book today. Now, if you remember, what's great about this letter from Peter is that even though he was chosen to be an apostle mostly to the Jewish people and Paul was mostly sent to the Gentiles, they would switch roles now and then. There would be an overlap. And Peter is speaking to people like us and like many Christians in America who might be newer Christians, in that the newer Christians who are not Jewish ethnically needed guidance. And Peter is telling them in this book that even if you are not physically, like many of you, the children of Abraham, you don't have a Jewish line of descent, you are now adopted children, and you're in the family of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have the same privileges and the same connections to our Lord. And he wanted people to know that this was a book which was supposed to be comforting and bring comfort to believers. So we are all, both Jew and Gentile, those who believe in the family of Christ. God was not looking to recreate the Tower of Babel. He hates empires. His empire would be a spiritual one where nations would be discipled. So God did not want to destroy the identity of the Ethiopian people when he brought Christianity to Ethiopia. He wanted to strengthen them. And it's okay for Ethiopia to remain filled with Ethiopians. And the same way with all the nations in Europe and Asia, God is not like the New World Order we see today, where he is mixing and smashing people together through immigration and emigration, and they don't have the same faith or the same law system. This is actually a political thing where you put in different groups, so they're constantly fighting with one another, and they don't see who their real enemy is. Just like today, we have people who are Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, whatever political group they're in, fighting over politics as if it really matters, like that's our main enemy. Meanwhile, our main enemy, it is, as it's always been, the elites who use the banks to control us. Those are the real enemies. Thomas Jefferson warned about it. No one ever wanted a central bank who had any type of knowledge of money, because what happens is when you give a central bank, you give a select few families power that own that bank, and they can pay off Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, the Supreme Court, presidential candidates, and they say what goes in the land. So that's why every major war that we had in this nation, you could check it out, it's always been basically over the central bank, who is going to control the money. And that's why in our Constitution, Congress was supposed to control the money, no outside group. So we are under the heavy hand of the elites and their banking system. We have all been mortgaged to the hilt. So we're basically debt slaves, unfortunately. And that's what the real trouble is about. But as long as people keep fighting each other over frivolous things, they maintain control. Now, why is it different for Christians? Well, I'll tell you why. First of all, as Christians, and this is why we are the most dangerous religion on the planet, because our religion is not based just on principles. It's based on a person that is alive and well, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have a real king that sits on the throne in heaven. He directs all things. This is not like Buddhism. Or Judaism, which is dead because they have no temple and they have a false sense of worship. This is not like Islam, who only had one prophet. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, who raised from the dead, controls all of history. He said he would be the most famous and influential person that the world has ever seen through his word. He told the truth. The prophecy came true. The most famous person, the most loved and hated person at the same time, is the Lord Jesus Christ. So this son of a carpenter in a backwater province in Nazareth went on to become the most famous person in all of history. So for Christians, it's different. We have a real faith. We have been trained not to trust men. That's why when you have real pastors who truly preach the Bible, there will always be enemies of the state to an extent, because we reveal the truth. All men have the potential to be liars. All nations have the potential to go through what we're going through right now. No one should be shocked. Everyone knows we were warning about civil conflict, a potential civil war. For us as Christians, we have our God who protects us, and we have our salvation. And this is what the end of Peter's book is telling us, is that regardless of what happens, we should rejoice in the fact that we're in Christ and we are saved, and not just saved in a cheap way. It's salvation is a free gift, but it is priceless, which is the title of today's sermon. We will love one another and take care of one another as the rest of the country is possibly blowing itself up over politics. And it doesn't mean there aren't real disputes, and it doesn't mean that the pastors, just like the Black Robe Regiment was during our Revolutionary War, that they shouldn't be at the forefront of speaking to the people and guiding the people. But let's say this up front. No one should be shocked. When you abandon the Ten Commandments, which are the commands of Christ, when you abandon the fruit of the Ten Commandments, which is to love one another, to love God, and to love your neighbor as yourself, we get into these situations. So there is nothing for us as Christians to be afraid of. We're going to accept whatever comes. And we have to remember that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. So we might live in a wicked empire, just as Christians have done throughout history, just like they did most recently in the Roman Empire, but we're never lost. We have Christ who protects us, and we just need to be vigilant in the faith. Now, if you turn to 1 Peter with me, I'll read verses 10 to 14, and again, we'll go verse by verse, so this way we understand what's going on in this beautiful book. And Peter, again, is exhorting the believers. Many of these are not Hebrews. They are Gentiles. And he wants to give them the same comfort. They don't have the background of being in the covenant. They're new, like many of you are new to the faith. Maybe you've been a Christian a year, 6 months, a month. But you have the same standing as anyone else. You're free in Christ, and your salvation will stand. So Peter tells the people, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a little while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." We're going to discuss these beautiful times of prayer and doxology in the Bible. And then he continues, he names names. We have a real religion. It's not hypothetical. Our faith is real, real people that we could verify in history. So Peter tells us, "By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen." So as we get into the first part of this scripture, we want to remember that Peter is speaking of our salvation. And Christians who grasp the priceless gift that they've been given cannot help but praise God. And the incredible gift of salvation is free and it's priceless. And this is what we need to remember as Christians. Those who are not in Christ, when these problems confront the world, those who do not believe are in real trouble because they have nothing to stand on. But as Peter told us, the God of all grace, who's called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, this is a thing to celebrate over, is we didn't have to pay for it. We didn't have to mortgage our house for it. You didn't need Bitcoin or credit cards. Salvation is a free gift, but as I've said in other messages, it doesn't mean it's cheap. It was bought with the blood of Christ. So regardless, if any of us fell asleep tomorrow and closed our eyes, our spirit will be reunited with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's something that we are to celebrate. It's something that the world cannot understand. We will never be prisoners. We will always be free men and free women in Christ, regardless of what they try and do to our bodies. They could take our lives. They will never take our freedom in Christ. Now, this doesn't mean we don't strive against the wicked. This is what makes Christians the most brave Christian men, especially in warfare, is that we know there are more important things than just our physical life. And that's why when push comes to shove, we hope it doesn't come to that, but if it does, we are the most brutal and fearless of warriors, because we will put our lives on the line. And I'm not talking about many you see in the ministry today. They talk a good game. They write books on what the reformers did, especially those of you who are Reformed or Reformed Baptists. But they are not willing to put their lives on the line like a Martin Luther or like a John Calvin. They are not as aggressive as a John Knox. Many of your Presbyterians today are scaredy cats. They will give you up. they'll give up the whole congregation and all of their freedom, not to suffer and just to make sure they collect their pension. But this was not the attitude of John Knox, the basically the man who found strengthened Presbyterianism and made it what it is. Presbyterian revolt is what the British called our original war for independence. These men are not made from the same cloth, but some still are. So we have to fight for our wives, for our children, if need be. And what gives us this strength is not some slogan. It's not just some type of material thing. It's knowing that when men live as lions for the faith the way Peter did, we can be confident that even in death, we will be with our Lord. And this makes Peter, and it should make every man, woman, and child who is in Christ break into praise. And this is common in the Bible. I'm going to show you amongst all the writers that the real Holy Ghost is not one that's going to make you prophesy or speak in tongues, but it'll give you the confidence to stand and be established, as the Bible says, and to be settled, meaning to be grounded and ready for whatever comes, because you know that regardless of what's done to you, as our Lord said, don't fear those who can kill the body, but fear him who can not only kill the body, but destroy the soul in hell. So this is what we don't want. So we don't worry about that. That's where our strength comes from. So Peter, who was a fraidy cat, who was weak in his faith, as we've shown, through the real Holy Ghost, the one that makes you stand up for Jesus Christ, became a lion. And once you realize that wonderful salvation, what God has given you, that no one can take away, you want to break out into rejoicing and praising God. And that's why we see in verse 11, he says, "To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And that's why many of our hymns include this. And all the writers of the Bible, writing in the Spirit in the New Testament, spoke this way. Let's look at what Paul tells us in Philippians. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 through 20, he's going to give us the reason why we are so happy and confident and at peace, as he also breaks into praise for God. He tells us, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." This was a faithful church. "For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Sound familiar? So Peter and Paul, we're going to see John does the same thing in Revelation. When you realize what Christ has done for you, when you realize that God has delivered you from Babylon, you will rejoice. And Babylon is a spirit, and we'll get into that. It doesn't matter so much the physical location. Babylon stood for the most powerful type of witchcraft. It stood for the world system. The world system that Christians are always living in. So we are in Babylon, but we are not of Babylon. And our faith is what protects us, knowing that we are saved by grace through faith. Jesus Christ, by the power of the cross, broke the power of spiritual Babylon. Babylon is a system that looks to destroy you through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. This is what's described in the Bible. So we are always in a Babylonian system. And the only thing that gives us protection is our faith. And John speaks about this. Revelation 17. Turn there with me. We're going to read verses 4 through 6. All throughout the Bible, we have the saints, those who wrote the Bible by the works of the Holy Spirit, speaking about this and praising God. Now, just so you see that I'm not making this up, that Babylon is a spirit, because many writers, even if you pick up a Bible commentary, they'll argue over certain things. Well, who was Babylon being referenced in Revelation? And many old school commentators will say, well, it was Rome. That's easy. The city on the seven hills. There are financial power. Some other writers might actually dare to say Jerusalem. The point I want to make, the bottom line is, it's a spiritual system. So maybe it was Rome and Jerusalem. Maybe the Bible's teaching us it's any nation that adopts the world system, even America, even Israel itself, which unfortunately many of our Zionist Christian friends give a pass on all things. Israel today, with Tel Aviv being the gay capital of the world, is just as much a part of the Babylonian system, Mystery Babylon, bringing people into witchcraft and every type of lust for the world, just as the United States is, or the European Union, or any group trapped in that world system. Well, let's read what John says, so you know I'm not making up this term. Look at what John says. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. So John was blown away because Christ was giving him a picture of this world system. And the reason why people get confused with this Babylon, this mystery Babylon, is because it is a system. It is a spirit. It can move from nation to nation. It is the world system that makes you forget that you should be celebrating in Christ your salvation. It makes you forget that nothing can harm you, whether it's spiritual or physical. And it makes you forget about the confidence you should have in Christ. And it'll make all of us who are weak in our faith panic at a time like this, especially with what's happening in our nation. But we have no excuse. And we have to say, just like the writers, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. When it comes to our Lord Jesus Christ, we have strength in Christ, and we don't need to be afraid. There's no reason to be afraid. Now, point number two that we'll be getting to in the sermon, again, is that Babylon is spiritual. It's not a physical entity. And it's always, this world system will always attack us. Right now, with modern technology, because the devil has new weapons, they do it through social media, through ads on Facebook, YouTube, even some of the new groups, Gab and Parler, and it doesn't matter that they give you more freedom, there's still temptation there. Now, your cable television, your streaming services, my goodness, look at what Disney and Netflix, what they stream into the home. But now as Christians, we can use discernment, and we should be able to stand up against this world system, being grounded in the world. As a Christian, never tolerate perversion. Never tolerate the desecration of the Lord Jesus Christ and of what he's done for us. So this is a world system that's arrayed against us. But in the middle of all this pressure, of all this temptation, you should be able to praise God and say glory and dominion to our God forever and ever, and praise him for the wonderful salvation that he's given you, as well as possibly your family or friends or people that you've witnessed to. They can never take that away. And you have no right to be intimidated by this trashy, filthy world system. And never compromise your principles to make somebody happy if it means turning your back on the Lord Jesus Christ. When I die, when they throw that dirt on me, put me in a box and throw the dirt on me, I want the devil to be celebrating that finally that cornball, that goofball pastor, Pastor Urbino, he's finally off the planet. He was taking people away from me. He was making through the gospel, the drug addict was turning from their life of drugs, and the money junkie was starting to say no to the money, and the prostitute was turning from her sins. And that's what you want to be. You want to be someone who rescues. You don't want to say, my son is gay, so now I can no longer be against sodomy or homosexuality. Well, too bad. If you really loved your son, you would tell him the truth that he might be able to come out of that sin and produce a beautiful family. Same thing with any family member you have trapped in any type of perversion, lesbianism, adultery. Again, the money junkies, those addicted to money, whatever they're into, hardcore witchcraft. If you don't stand up to them and give them the gospel, how are they supposed to be rescued? And that's why we praise our Lord and Savior that he loves us. I don't need the world to love me. The world system is not supposed to love me. They are supposed to be angry with me. People trapped in darkness are supposed to be angry with me. They are supposed to be angry with you. The devil is supposed to hate you. Demons are supposed to hate you. Your Aunt Sally, who's not saved, is supposed to hate you when you speak about the gospel during the holiday season. Those things, yes, Aunt Sally's still alive. Those are the things that you are supposed to remember. The world is supposed to hate you. Be popular and favored by God and by his people and be an outlaw. Be public enemy number one with the world system. And when you die, you want the devil, you want the angels, you want the world to rejoice that you are finally dead. And you could no longer damage their kingdom and expand God's kingdom through your witness. So I don't care if we have civil war, total war. I don't care if President Trump is reelected, if they elect the Easter Bunny, if Santa Claus is real and he gets elected. I don't care. The bottom line is we need to fight evil. We are allowed to protect our families. And the first way you do that is through the power of the Spirit and the Word of God. Don't ever forget that. Now, praising God, this doxology, praising the Lord, this is something that was prominent in the Old Testament. Turn to Psalm 148, and that'll be our last reference in for point number one. But I want to show this, that this tradition that the holy men of old, the way they were speaking, this is the same way that the Bible has always taught us to speak. Everything is supposed to praise God. Remember the Psalms? We don't always make our way through this book the way we should. But this is the bottom line. Everything that God created praises him. And that should be your attitude. When you remember what Jesus Christ did on the cross, paying for your sins, defeating death itself, becoming our king, you should always remember that nothing can harm you when you're in Christ Jesus. We want to praise God. We were created to praise, not to always complain, to praise. So what are we told in Psalm 148? Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. And that's what Peter said. that we would be established. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalted the horn of his people and the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Amen, amen, and amen. So we were made to praise. We are established. You know the way they'll give these corny stars their star on the Walk of Fame? And that's funny. Every now and then they'll get vandalized. Someone will come by with a hammer. They don't like the star, and they smash up their fake star on that Walk of Fame. Well, better than a star on Hollywood Boulevard is when you are established like a star in the sky. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, when he draws you, when he takes that heart of stone and changes it to a heart of flesh, and you are in the Lord, you can celebrate because you are a star that will never burn out. Okay? You will live forever. And what a wonderful experience to go into glory when the new heaven and the new earth is created, and you will meet people that you had the courage to give witness to, that you had the courage to stand up to them as they were trapped in their sins, whether it was a child, a mother, a father, or grandchildren. You stood up to them. You're the only one that loved them enough to tell them that regardless of what their bank account looks like or how big the house is, if they didn't have the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are dead already. They're lost. And how wonderful will it be? And that's why I tell you, I don't care if you're 60, 70, 80 years old. Maybe you've been a Christian for one day. You could start saving souls right now. Jesus will use you to reach people, to save people. And what a joy when you have the courage to reach out to people and you see a changed life. That they were headed towards destruction. They were committing spiritual suicide. And through your simple, goofy, cornball witness that the world doesn't understand, with the best of your ability, God used you to quicken their spirit and save their soul. What greater privilege than that? What greater privilege than that? So the second point I'd like to make in our sermon, and I've been touching on it, more important than the physical nation of Babylon is the spiritual system it represents. The miraculous power God provides to Christians is the ability to thrive in Babylon. Christians can extend God's kingdom against all odds. This is why Peter was able to salute the believers. And he said, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you. Peter could be in the midst of spiritual Babylon, which is the world system, and still take over territory for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some commentators have said that Peter was at the site of where Babylon once stood, and he was speaking to a group of Assyrians who came to Christ. It doesn't matter. Some say he was in Rome. Anything that supports the world system, the devil's system, which is programmed to keep you distracted, to keep your eyes off of Christ, so that you die without him. Remember, the devil is suicidal. He knows he's not going to make it out alive. He's an ancient being, but he won't live forever. He is the most selfish, disgusting being, in that when he goes into that lake of fire that was created for him, he wants to take you with him. And that's why the devil promises all these things up front. Lust on tap. He does this with our movie star, our music friends. Isn't it interesting how they're all burnt out and destroyed so early in their lives? The devil will give you fame and money and whatever else you want up front. But boy, the payment is severe. The payment is your soul. So whatever, 10 years, 20 years of fame and fortune you enjoyed, it's really not worth it in the end. Where with God, to follow Jesus, there's a cost up front. It's not easy. And we pay through persecution and through suffering, especially within our own family when they don't believe. But the payoff in the end is tremendous, and that we get to live forever, and that we don't suffer spiritual death, and that we'll actually get our body back, a glorified body, and be able to exist again in fullness. So the devil is really good at making offers up front. One of the sayings I hate, I am not a liar in my life. People like to say, well, crime doesn't pay. That's not true. Crime pays, and it pays very well. Otherwise, people wouldn't commit crime. They wouldn't get involved in cabals. They wouldn't get involved with whatever, CIA, Mossad, Russian mob, Jewish mob, Ukrainian mob, Albanian mob, Italian mob, whatever mafia you want to name on the planet. And the most powerful mafias right now are the governments and the banks. So very powerful mafia, Goldman Sachs, as a matter of fact, it looks like they're going to bail on New York now that they've sucked the city dry. They might be heading to Florida as the rumors are circulating. But the point is that these mafia groups, they pay pretty well. They'll make you comfortable for a while, but you wind up losing your soul and losing your family around you. So it doesn't mean you can't be successful. Be successful. It doesn't mean you can't have money, but always let it be tempered with the gospel. And when you hit that glass ceiling, and whatever organization you belong to, accept it. Don't sell your soul to go further. And if you need to leave, leave. And it's a shame what's happening now, because you see the double standard with this whole virus reaction. The mom and pop stores are being destroyed, the salt of the earth people, many of them. But the large corporations and the money junkies are allowed to keep their doors open. So the real mafia today is the banking cartel and the corporations. But that's okay, because God has something in store for them. Don't worry. It always looks like evil is going to prosper and win, and then they get smashed all at once. And that's why I have full confidence. It could look like the end of the world is coming, but I know that Jesus Christ, my God, will bring justice. So let's remember that this system is set up to catch us, but through Christ, we can survive and thrive. So let's look at Revelation chapter 18. This is a description of what a very powerful Babylonian system looks like. And this is what we need to protect our souls from. We need to be in the Word. We need to be reminded who the boss is. And we know that that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything, when this sermon ends today, and you go back to whatever you were doing, look at how much advertising, how much money is spent on getting you and your children and your family, your friends, to do the wrong thing. Everything is based on lust, even the food commercials, right? Everything is lustful. You're trying to stay on a diet, and every 30 seconds, big juicy pizza, hamburger, whatever, food that you don't need, sweets, candy, just pushing you to be, a nice chunky diabetic. This is the way the world works. Everything bad is promoted and everything good is hidden. But that's where we in the church need to stand up for Christ and give people the knowledge of righteousness. So let's read chapter 18. We will always be at war with the world system. It will always be a spiritual battle. And that's why Christians were always supposed to be a nation within a nation. We were supposed to insulate ourselves in our time of worship, in our congregations. Jesus Christ builds walls. He built the wall around the Lord's Supper. He taught the church how to exert discipline to keep the devils and the demons and the perverts out of our worship services. So if you don't like to be at war, if you don't like to suffer, don't follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to find another religion. But those of us that are in Christ, once you're in, you can't get out, because God loves you and he has his hand on you and he will finish the work that he started in you. So if you ever wanted to worry, if you ever wondered what true witchcraft is about, Satanism, Luciferianism, what our elites follow, what these people enjoy, let's read Revelation chapter 18. This is the world system. This is John describing it, and this applies to all ages. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations, like I told you, it's a system that can infect any nation. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, just like the original Tower of Babel. And God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, and the cup which she hath filled to her double. Remember that cup of wrath and judgment and filth. Only Jesus was able to drink it for us and defeat it. Nothing, no other entity can handle that. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. What a great word. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her. And when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour, nothing is changed, and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men, and the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried, when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping, wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of a costliness. for in 1 hour is she made desolate. Now, when this world system collapses, whether it was the Babylonian Empire, the Roman Empire, whether it was the Ottoman Empire, God's people who were oppressed by these demonic entities, we rejoice. So when China, with its Silk and Belt Road Initiative, became a whore for the mighty in the earth with all these cheap products and the cheap iPhones that children have built for you and slaves have built for you, God will bring them down with a famine, and in one day that place will collapse and become a place of turmoil. Same thing with the United States. Whatever system has bought into materialism and just giving people stuff, this is what the writer of Revelation is saying. That great city, that great empire that gave you slave labor and your iPhones and your computers, and even Italy's getting in on the act now. Why did they get hit with the virus so bad? Because they brought in Chinese slave labor and cheap labor, and they made the products in Italy so they could technically say that it was made in Italy, but they're not really Italian products. So everyone's getting in on the act. We just had Congress, both Republican and Democrat, vote for more slave labor. And Tim Cook of Apple, who likes to point out the fact that he's a sodomite. Who cares, right? That doesn't make him cool. He loves slave labor in China. All these people love China, your corporate heads, because they could build your crap phone, your iPhone, for less money. This is what it's about. So all the things we lust after, the jewelry and the suits and technology and whatever else, when it comes crashing down in a day, God's people, we're not going to mourn the way the people of the world will. We will celebrate. Thank you, Lord. You freed those souls. You freed those people trapped in slave labor and having their souls destroyed, these evil empires. And this is the second part. The saints rejoice. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters. See, they always had sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It wasn't invented in the 60s. Shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. The factories will shut down, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Whether it was Jerusalem killing the prophets or Rome killing the prophets, which I would say this is what it's speaking about. This is an archetype of all evil empires throughout time. Those same companies that are showing your children bestiality, sexual relations with animals, pornography on tap that your 5- and 6-year-old can now look at on the phone or they can look at on the internet. They are antichrist. They are against God. They will always be our enemy. And when they collapse, we will celebrate. Because let me give you some information that you might not be getting from your own church or from other pastors you listen to. If you are able to put food on the table, as little as it is, if you have clothes on your back and you have a place to sleep at night, if you have shelter, that's all we need in Christ. We're already rich. All this other stuff to God's people should not matter. And when it's all taken away, and the world panics and breaks down, that gives us a chance to have real freedom. We're not worried about how expensive our suit is or what our jewelry looks like or how much money we have in our 401k. Is it okay when we have those things? Of course, Paul himself said, when I had much, I rejoiced. When I had little, I still rejoiced. But our strength doesn't come from that. Our strength comes from the fact that we know we're saved in Christ. We have a spiritual battle. Facebook and Apple and whatever other company is dominating right now, and Amazon, look at the way they treat their people. Look at the way Amazon employees are treated. They're already treated like robots. It hasn't even been fully automated yet. The people are treated like robots. They're scanned. They can't take proper bathroom breaks. They're driven into the ground. So we already have, this is what these systems do. And this is what happens when you take the gospel and Christ's law out of business practices. You get slavery once again. So don't listen to your friends, all the problems that Christianity has brought. Christianity is hated because it sets the captive free. And it's going to do it again. And even though this is speaking about this final judgment in the book of Revelation, this is the way empires have always functioned. Do your own research. Doesn't matter if it was an empire in Africa, in Timbuktu, or if it was an empire in Greece or Rome. It doesn't matter. They function the same. They fall in love with themselves. They get drunk with power, and they decimate their people. But Peter gives you the secret that we can live in Babylon and still thrive as Christians. So I can live in this American empire. If the Chinese communists took over tomorrow, I could be stuck in the middle of Chinese communism, which I don't want. But I would still thrive as a Christian. There are still souls to save. No matter what happens, I'm in Christ, and I could do battle for Christ. And your wish and my wish is that when we die, when God takes us completely out of Babylon, that we did our work for Christ, that the devil and his demons are celebrating. Thank God that Christian has been taken out for now. They were damaging my kingdom. So many people were converted. So many Christians, other Christians were encouraged by them. They were destroying my kingdom. So that's what we want. That's our goal. So that's the secret. Babylon is a system. Don't worry about locating it physically. It is a system. And the last point, God expects all born-again believers to show Christian love to one another. All of us who follow King Jesus should express our faith by blessing other believers with goodwill. As you're finding out now, as you are locked in your home, and that they're trying to force this new reset, this new global reset on us, and they're using this virus as an excuse, as you are locked in your home, and they're ready to vaccinate everyone, they have all these terrible plans, so don't worry, because God's still in control, and you're finding out that now that you can't go to the club, you can't go to work, you can't go to wherever you hung out at, the bar, whatever, you shouldn't be doing a lot of this, of course, if you're a Christian. But the point is, all these people that lived outside their home in sin, it's been taken away and they're breaking down. But as Christians, we can still be content. And as we lose our stuff and our money, and we're not so entertaining to our friends anymore, the ones that should be there to support us are Christians. And here's your chance as a Christian to support your family. Don't back down. Be there for them. Be there for your friends, for your acquaintances that need you. This is our chance. And especially for other Christians, don't forget to take care of your own. Don't take other Christians for granted. They've encouraged you. Now they need encouragement. You needed something from them. Now they might need something. And there's no encouragement like another Christian helping another believer stand strong in the faith. So this is what we want. Let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. This will be our last text for today. John, chapter 13. If our Lord Jesus had this attitude, and this is the way he behaved towards us, who are we to not be servants to our brethren? And remember, when Jesus did this, the apostles weren't mature yet. They weren't properly filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit hadn't descended in power yet. So Jesus is actually serving a group like this that he knew would abandon him when he needed them. But look at the way he behaved anyway. with these unmature, miserable, this immature, miserable group that he had. Look at what Jesus did. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Remember, this was for servants. This was for the lowest of servants to wash feet, the feet of people that came to a home. Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. This is why we love Peter, he's honest. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, he was always extreme, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. He was speaking about Judas. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. So the King of the universe, the most powerful being in the world, the God-man, Jesus Christ, King Jesus, washed the feet like a servant, the feet of the apostles, which was a common practice in that time. Either you were given a basin of water and a towel to wash your own feet. If there were servants in the house, they washed your feet. The King of the universe washed the apostles' feet. Now I want to ask you, friends, family, acquaintances, whoever might listen to this, but most importantly, our church family at Fellowship Baptist Church, I want to ask you this. Do you see now why I'm so critical of the pastors who ask for private jets or for expensive suits or who want to be served by the congregation hand and foot? If the Lord Jesus Christ washed the feet of the apostles, how much more all of us should be loving and serving one another? And should not be selfish. So if Jesus Christ washed the feet of an immature group of apostles that would temporarily betray him, actually leave him alone in his greatest time of anguish and pain, how much more motivated we should be to serve one another? And this is why I'm so adamant, and I come out so strong against this Christian faith, which is not Christian, where pastors want to be pampered, where members want to be pampered, they come to the church looking at how the church could serve them instead of looking at how they can serve Christ. And that's why churches get burnt out. That's why Christians get burnt out. They get sick of the church because it's a social club where everyone looks to be served instead of looking at how we can serve one another. So you look at this pampered group that likes to call themselves priests or pastors or shepherds or bishops or whatever, and you tell me how in any way does this resemble the commands and the example that Christ set? And that's why we love him. If we are all in the church serving one another, that's how we get by. No person can do it alone. And no person is a doormat. We have those people, it seems like in the modern church, we have those two or three people in the group of 100 that does everything and no one else wants to partake. And that shows that you're an immature Christian. And especially now, as many of us are going to lose a lot, financially speaking, we all need to step up for one another and share our food, share our clothes. For those of us who have never had that much money and have had lots of children, we know how to share and recycle and hand me down 2, 3, 4, 5 times. So this is not a shock for us, but for those who are Christians that have been very comfortable financially, and now some of those things are being taken away, don't be discouraged. You will learn how to live with less. This whole nation, very soon, is going to learn how to live with less. But if we could put food on the table and we have clothes on our backs and a place to sleep, we'll make it. So many of our ancestors came to this land with just the clothes on their back and whatever stale piece of bread they had in their pocket as they came here, and they made it. But we are so spoiled that I hear Christians discouraged. As Babylon is falling, they're actually panicking because they want all that stuff, all those conveniences. Well, too bad. God takes these things away to remind you that you are part of Christ's kingdom, not part of the Babylonian kingdom. You don't serve the devil, you serve Christ. And this week, at this time, if you're listening to this and you have become a little too comfortable in all the stuff that the world has to offer, wake up! Snap out of it and get back with Christ. So this salvation that we have, this is what we rest on. Saved by grace through faith, right? Christ alone did the work. So salvation, always free and always priceless, regardless of what happens in the future. Stay focused on Christ. If you are a Christian, and you're struggling, God loves you. He still has his hand on you. Reach out for him. When you reach out for Christ with a humble heart, his arms are already around you. And bring that love, especially to your church family and to those around you. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can preach the word. And we thank you, Lord, that regardless of what's taken away from us, whatever toys and things that we were used to having, that we can make it anyway, that our faith is our shield and it can stand up against all the attacks of the devil. We pray, Lord, that through these troubles, that myself, a Fellowship Baptist Church, the congregation, all Christians would be reminded that we are not part of this world system. And whatever things, whatever comforts that you give us, Lord, we know that it's just an extra blessing. But when they are taken away, it's to strengthen us, not to hurt us. So we pray, Lord, you protect us as your little flock. We ask, Lord, you would bless those in the congregation, those on the phone, those watching the live stream, that you would continue to strengthen your people, Lord. We pray that you take care of us and continue to guide us. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus Christ is on the throne, and we thank you that to him belongs the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Till we meet again, Lord willing, next week, God bless you.